All right, well, let's turn to the Psalms, not Psalm 27, but I want us to turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Now, as far as I know, I have never preached from this psalm. I think I've referenced a couple of verses, but I was trying to think the other day if I had ever preached from it, and I don't think that I have, but I want to this evening. I'm going to speak to you primarily out of verse 7, where, and I'm going to entitle the message tonight, Having a Glad Heart. Having a glad heart. Well, let's read down to it and read the psalm and then the message on having a glad heart. I don't know about you, but I think we need some gladness. That's just my opinion. I think that a lot of folks are getting weary in well-doing and are getting a little bit discouraged. And I think we need to learn tonight where a glad heart comes from. So let's read Psalm 4. You follow along in your Bible as I read. In verse 1, David says, Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Now, that doesn't mean going out and renting a car, all right, leasing a car. That's not going down to one of these shops and leasing a TV until you get it paid for. No, this means leasing means lying. Look it up in your dictionary and you will see that one of the definitions for leasing is lying. And God says, how long are you going to turn my glory into shame? And how long are you going to love vanity? And how long are you going to seek after the lie? All right. And then he says, Selah. And as far as we know, I've taught you this before, but the word Selah means think about it. It means to consider it. Some folks think that like verse 1 and 2 comprised the first verse in this song. And then David says Selah, and that is a musical rest. And there would be no more singing, and just the instruments would play and give you a few moments to think about what was just sung in the song. All right, so then look at verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. So there's two more verses, and then at the end of them you have a Selah. So think about it. All right, then look please at verse 5. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Now notice that. Thou, God, hath put gladness in my heart. David said, God, you're the one that put the gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. So in other words, when there was a bounteous harvest, that made everybody happy, that made everyone glad, but David says here that the gladness that the Lord put upon the heart is so much better than that which comes from earthly things, from just natural things. And so David then finishes out with verse 8 when he said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. All right, I want to use verse 7 tonight and speak to you on this subject, having a glad heart. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless, and then the message. Our Father, we want to thank you for all of your many blessings, and thank you, Father, for our salvation, and thank you for the provision that you give. Father, we do not have to brave our way through life by ourselves, but we have your eternal presence, and Father, you delight in us, and when we fellowship with you, there is a joy that comes over our souls that cannot be defined. It cannot be described. It is better than anything, for it goes all the way down into the depths of our hearts. And so, Father, thank you for the gladness that you give. And I pray now you will bless the message and just give us understanding of what we hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When I was a child, my mother, we lived in a big subdivision, and my mother would have a good news club. That's what they called them. I'm not sure what outfit that was, but they called them a good news club. And they would come every summer, and they would hold one of these clubs for 5 nights in our patio out back. And we lived in a large subdivision. There were we always had a tremendous crowd, always had a big crowd of kids who would come and attend that week-long meeting. It lasted, maybe 45 minutes to an hour every evening. But they would do a story, they would sing some songs, and they would give the gospel, and every year many, many, many kids came to know Christ as their Savior. Now, one of the songs that they used to sing, they taught it to us, and it was a catchy little song, and I remember that one year they had a ventriloquist, this little girl, she was in her 20s probably, but she was short, and she looked so young, but I'm sure she was in her 20s. But anyway, she brought a ventriloquist doll, and she wanted to know if that doll wanted to sing with her. And so she would start singing this little song that they had taught us the year before, and so she and the dummy would sing the song while we watched. And the song is, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And so she would sing it, and then the dummy would sing it, and then the dummy would have all of us kids sing it. And that little chorus absolutely got stuck in everybody's heart, everybody's mind. We all knew that song, and for years, I'm sure that all of us could continue to sing it, even though maybe we had not heard it in such a long time. But the idea, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Now, we live today in a world that has, for the most part, lost its joy. If it's true that joy, real joy, wonderful joy, comes by trusting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it must then be that sin and the burden that sin brings to a life is what robs us of that joy, of true joy. If you know someone who is burdened down with the cares of this world, if they are burdened down with addictions, if they struggle and wrestle every single day of their lives with their own flesh and carnal appetites, then you'll find very little joy in those people's hearts. I have dealt with folks who have just literally messed up just about everything in their lives, and sadly, the last thing that you see in them is joy. Until they get their hearts right with the Lord, you probably are not going to see a whole lot of enjoyment in the things of life. Now, I have always kind of laughed. I mean, every time someone speaks of gay people, all right? Truth is, there's nothing gay about it. The devil is always a false advertiser. He always brands things the wrong way. The devil usually puts a label on something, and when it's good and settled that that's the label that's on it, you then notice that it ends up being the exact opposite of what is truly reality. They call a person who believes that abortion is murder pro-life. Okay, pro-life. But question, do they call a person who believes in abortion and thinks that abortion is just fine and dandy, do they call them pro-death? You see, we're called pro-life. But do you call someone, does the world call someone who believes that abortion is just fine and dandy, do they call them pro-murder? And the answer is no. No. Do they call them pro-death? No, they don't do that either. You see, that is not how the devil works. They are called, instead of what they really are, they are called pro-choice. And that is so deceptive, folks, because it does not convey what is in their hearts. Some of these states now, the blue states run by Democrats like New York and Virginia, they've made laws that say after a baby is born, all right, born, in other words, out of the womb and breathing on its own, if the mother cannot decide whether or not she wants the child, they will leave the child on the table and give the mother time to decide what she wants to do. And they are so kind and gracious in saying that they will make the baby comfortable while she decides. And if she doesn't want the baby, then they're just going to let the baby die on the table. Now, folks, I don't care how you slice that, that is murder. That is a human being left to die, and that is murder. When you are standing there and you have the ability to save that child's life and you don't do it, that's murder. No matter how you slice it, it is taking the life of another human being. But they soothe their conscience by saying, oh, no, we're not pro-murder. We're not pro-death. We're pro-choice. Well, you just keep telling yourself that. And I guess one of these days, if you say it enough, you can harden your own conscience to where you don't feel guilt any longer. And that's what I think they're trying to do. Now, folks, listen, all of this labeling that goes on, listen, this is why This is why they had to keep the liquor stores open during the lockdown. And this is why they kept the abortion clinics open during the lockdown. And this is why the marijuana shops stayed open to sell the marijuana to the nation. But you could not get a knee replacement. You could not get a hip replacement. You could not get a stent in your heart, but you could go and buy all the alcohol and the marijuana you wanted in order to numb yourself so that you don't have to deal with your sin before Almighty God. Folks, my point is, we think that sin and vice and wickedness and all these other things are going to give us joy and happiness in our lives. But that is just another lie that the devil goes around telling everyone. I want you to know, dear friend, here is the premise of what I want to preach on tonight. True joy, real joy, wonderful joy is found in the Lord. True joy is found in trusting Christ as your personal Savior and being forgiven of your sin and getting assured of a home in heaven. So I want us to think about this morning or this evening, whatever time it is, I want us to think of this matter of joy and where it comes from, how to get it, and I hope that it will encourage you tonight. First, let's look at our text verse. The verse is verse number 7. And here the Bible says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." I want us, first of all, to see the source of this joy. David says that the source of true joy is found in this verse. And if you look carefully at the verse, the very first word that you see there is the word thou. So in other words, the source for anyone to find real, true Bible gladness and joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou is a reference to the Lord. Now, some folks will say that joy is found in money. No, it's certainly not found in money. I decided to look up some of the millionaires and billionaires who lived all their lives with an abundance of money, and just try to see what some of them said about their lives with all that money. I looked up and read about Andrew Carnegie. All right, this man amassed $374 billion and said near the end of his life these words, "Millionaires seldom smile." Millionaires seldom smile. There was another multi-millionaire. His name was Jay Gould, G-O-U-L-D. And he was another multi-millionaire. And as he lay dying, he said this, "I suppose I am the most miserable devil on this earth." Isn't that something? "I suppose I am the most miserable devil on this earth." And he was saying, folks, that true joy is not found in money. It's not found in fleshly pleasure. It is not found in the things of this world. Lord Byron, the English poet, he just gloried in the fact. I mean, he went around boasting about how much the world impressed him and how much he had impressed the world. And he just rejoiced that he was a man of the world who indulged in everything that the devil had to offer him. And on his last birthday, he wrote these sad words. He said, "My days are in the yellow leaf." Now, you know what the yellow leaf is. That means it's fall, and that means that the leaf is just about ready to fall off the tree. So he said, "My days are in the yellow leaf. The flowers and fruits of life are gone. The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." So folks, I think you can see that true joy is not found in things. And most importantly, true joy, as we saw this morning, is not found in rejecting God. Perhaps the most famous infidel the world has ever known was a Frenchman by the name of Voltaire. And he would debate and argue. He wrote books about how there is no God. He would go to college campuses and would debate anyone who wanted to debate him on the existence of God. And he would publicly curse God and then dare God to smite him down. But God did not smite Voltaire down. God did worse than that. God let him live. He lived until he was 84 years of age. And this man spent his whole life rejecting God. Think about it, folks. His whole life fighting against God. Now, I've never understood why any atheist thinks that he has to argue there is no God. I mean, folks, if you believe there is no God, you're just wasting your breath. You are arguing something that you say does not exist. Does that make sense? Of course not. But here is what Voltaire said as he was dying. He spent his whole life rejecting God and rejecting Christ and rejecting the Bible. And he wrote one day this sad sentence. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." Doesn't sound like he was very glad, does it? You see, a life without God, well, that's not where you find gladness of heart. That's not where you find joy. Folks, how sad is it that Voltaire lived to be 84 years of age, and yet, as he neared death, his words were, "I wish that I had never been born." Now, folks, listen. Let's go from that depressing note to a positive note. And I want you to see, and this is what David is emphasizing, true joy is found in the Lord. Marcus Dodds was a Scottish scholar and a preacher of the Word of God, and he loved to travel. He would get on a boat, and he would sail around to any place that he had never been before. He wanted to see the whole world. And he said in his final days, after he had seen the world, he said in his final days, "I have been to every land on which the sun shines. And never have I anywhere seen a single happy, hopeful face where the gospel of Jesus Christ has not been preached." Wow. That is quite a statement. So again, folks, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Don't forget what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." There's that word always again. Jesus said that in the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always. Well, here's Paul saying it, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Now, if you have an S on the end of that word, then your Bible has been monkeyed with a little bit, all right? It's not supposed to have an S. In Old English, alway and always are two different words. And the word alway simply means this, all the way, all the way. So Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord all the way." Throughout your steps, throughout your life, rejoice in the Lord. And where this is where true joy can be found. Paul did not say, "Rejoice in your circumstances." The church at Philippi was going through, as we learned several weeks ago on Wednesday night when we studied Acts 16, but the church at Philippi was going through terrible persecution when Paul wrote this letter to them. So they did not have any wonderful circumstances in which to rejoice in. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord all the way." Regardless of the circumstances, you don't get your joy from the circumstances. You get your joy from the Lord. Then secondly, I want us to notice, secondly, the site of this joy. Now, we look first of all at the source, and we know the source is thou. It is the Lord. The Lord is the source of our joy. But now, secondly, let's look at the site of this joy. Back in verse 7, you see the source, which is the Lord, but now notice the next phrase, and we see the site. The site of this joy is the heart. Look at your Bible, please. It said, "Thou hast put gladness," where? "In my heart." God put that gladness in our hearts. Folks, the site of this joy is the heart. The heart in the Bible of a person does not mean that little muscle that's in your chest that when it's real quiet at night and you lay your head down on the pillow a certain way, you can sometimes hear that muscle beating, your physical heart. That's not what is being spoken of here. The sight of this joy is in the heart. The heart of a person in the Bible is simply the seat of your emotions. It is the seat of your emotions. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" I mean your heart is that which stirs you. Your heart is what moves you. You see, the heart in our chest is the primary organ that we have. If our heart stops, then we stop. You see, it's our center. And in the same line of thinking, when the Bible speaks of our heart, it is speaking again of our center. Although not the center of our physical self, like the organ, but the center of our emotional self. The idea is that your heart is what governs your emotions. Your heart is what governs your emotions. Now, let me illustrate. Go back in your mind to when you fell in love with your spouse. All right, now shove all the cobwebs out of the way. Come on, you can remember. For some, it may be a long, long time ago, but remember, all right? Go back in your mind and just remember that day. Remember when you looked at her and you looked deep into her eyes and you then said, "Honey, I want you to know that I love you with all my spleen." No, no, no. If you say that, you better get ready to duck, is what you better do. You're about to get clobbered upside your head there. Can you imagine you're looking into her eyes? The lights are low. The atmosphere is perfect. And you pull her close and you say, "I have something that I need to tell you. I want you to know, darling, that I love you with all my earlobe." No, no, no. If that's what you say, listen, you need some romance lessons. There's something wrong there. All right, but that's not what you say. So what do you say? Well, you look at her and with all the emotion that you can muster, you tell her that you love her with all of your heart. With all your heart. You see, your heart is the center of your emotions. It's the center of your being. The emotions are what you feel. The heart is what you feel. And the psalmist says here that our gladness, our joy beams out of our hearts. Our center, our emotional center. Listen, folks, so much of the joy that is in our world today is nothing more than a surface joy. It does not come from God. It comes from the world. It is not that joy that wells up out of the heart and moves us. It is not stable. It is fleeting. And it can come on in a minute, and then it can leave just as quickly. So often our joy comes from things. We get a new car. Man, we're happy. We got joy. We can't sleep that night. Gotta, every now and then, you just go check and make sure you lock the doors. I mean, we go crazy, don't we? We get a new wardrobe. And then we get happy. We get joy. We get a new boat or a new motorcycle or a new tractor or a new a mower. But all those things will soon lose their luster. When I earned my master's degree, I decided that I was going to celebrate. And I had been started saving a little money, not a whole lot, but enough to make a down payment. And then I went down to the Harley-Davidson store in Joliet, and I purchased a Harley-Davidson. And I rode that thing all over the place. I mean, even in cold Chicago weather, I rode that motorcycle. I could not stay off of it. But once I moved here after, and I had it for about 3 years before I moved here, maybe 4 years before I moved here. And when the moving truck pulled in up at the house that we rented in Taneytown, they backed this truck with all of our belongings on them down the driveway, and we unloaded the back of the truck, and then we actually put one of our cars in the moving van. So show you we didn't have a whole lot of stuff, and so we put the car in the moving van. Well, I drove it off, and then I went in and I unhooked my Harley, and I started it up and wrote it off, and I didn't write a whole lot after that. There's something about the Church of the Open Door that just keeps you hopping and jumping, and I was either going to have to pastor the church and or ride to Harley, so I decided to pastor the church. But the point is, it lost its appeal. It just lost its appeal, and so I decided to sell it. So often, folks, our joy comes from the temporal things in our lives. I mean, things like the Ravens winning a Super Bowl. Why is it that when your home team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series, a bunch of idiots have to come out and burn the city down? Does that make any sense at all? But, you know, everybody's having a ball because their team won. But then that doesn't last long, does it? Next day, it's back to the grind, back to work, and the gladness is gone. Our joy, folks, needs to come from something that lasts. I mean, if the Orioles, never mind, that's not going to happen. But I think you see the point, don't you? I hope you see the point. Joy from the heart that is given by God Almighty, that is real joy. And that joy is going to last us. All right, then thirdly, let me just take this point and amplify it. Look at the last part of this verse. It says, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Now, folks, when you have to depend upon your garden, when you have to depend upon the wheat that you grow so that you can have bread throughout the year, if you depend upon the corn that you plant to produce, and that is what you're going to eat on and feed your animals with, you are very glad. You are much appreciative of the day that a big abundance of crop comes in and your joy is there. But notice what David says here. David says that this joy that comes from the Lord, this joy that we get that wells up out of our hearts, that joy is a superior joy to any other joy that you can find in this earth, even in the joy that comes from a great harvest as you sit back knowing that your family is going to be able to eat well that winter. So David compares it to the joy of prosperity. But he tells us that this joy that comes from above excels that temporary joy. Folks, as I said in my first point, money and things can only bring a temporary type of joy. True Bible joy from God, joy that just burst forward from the heart, is more than the temporary joy that things and stuff can give us. True Bible joy that comes out of the heart is a joy that is more both in quantity and in quality. And that's the joy that all of us should be looking for. In other words, folks, real Bible, God-given joy lasts longer and is more abundant than any other kind of joy. So what I'm saying to you is that this joy that God gives is superior. And it's superior because it lasts and it's truly satisfying. You see, the world cannot give anything that is that truly lasts or that truly satisfies anyone. I remember when I was a kid, and you watch. They used to have cigarette commercials and beer commercials on TV when we were kids, and you'd watch TV in the evenings, and they would have all these cigarette commercials, they didn't show people that had smoked for 40 years. No, they showed these beautiful people in their 20s with perfect bodies and perfect faces, and everybody laughing and hooting it up, having a good time. And they show you all of that. And one of the things that they used to say, and I don't even remember which brand they were talking about, but it said, it truly satisfies. It truly satisfies. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. If it truly satisfies, then why 10 minutes after you smoke the last one, you have to smoke another one? I mean, if it truly satisfies. But again, the devil is a false advertiser, and he makes you think that what he has to offer, the joy that he has to offer, is going to last, and it truly satisfies. But folks, it doesn't. It sure doesn't. There is nothing in this world that can compare with the joy that comes from God. So let me ask you a question tonight. Where do you find your joy? Where do you go to for joy? Real joy, wonderful joy. I mean, where do you go to get yours? Well, I'm telling you right now, it's only found in a right relationship with the Lord. Our world is filled with people running all over the place looking for something to bring joy to their hearts. But if you are getting your joy from the Lord, that joy is so much better than this temporary stuff that the world has to offer. Let me illustrate one more time. Let's say you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's say that you are living daily for the Lord. You are praying, you are reading your Bible, you are faithful to church, you are growing in leaps and bounds, and this walk with God stirs your heart, and you get joy, real joy, wonderful joy. I don't know how that joy may come. Maybe it's in God just blessing, and that joy erupting out of your emotional being. I don't know. Maybe your joy comes because you are so right with God that the Lord knows He can bring a sinner in front of you and make a divine appointment for that sinner, and God knows that you are going to witness and lead that person to Christ. And folks, I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than leading a lost soul to Christ. And this walk is something that brings joy, and that joy lasts. Now, let's imagine someone who is not saved, and they work a grueling job, and they struggle with their finances. And let's say that the man in this family, in this home, has a really bad gambling problem. And let's say that he also has a bad drinking problem. And but he loves his football team. Oh, he loves his city's football team. Let's just say he loves the Ravens, or he loves the Redskins, or he... No, I was going to say Steelers, but let's back out of that. I don't know that you can love the Steelers, but that's just my opinion. All right, I know some of you are Steelers fans, but you can be forgiven of that just like any other sin that you commit. But anyway, let's say he loves the Ravens. And so when the Ravens win, oh, he's happy. Oh, he's happy. His wife notices how happy he is. The kids, they all notice. Oh, look at Daddy, he's so happy. Why is he happy? Oh, the Ravens won. Oh, okay, well, he'll be back to his old self tomorrow. And sure enough, tomorrow he is. Now, being a gambler and being a drinkard or a drunkard, this man, he has financial problems. And normally, when you gamble, you do have financial problems. They do not fix gambling so that you win. It is rigged so that you lose. If you hadn't figured that out, then wow, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, he's got some serious financial problems. But on Monday, after the Ravens won on Sunday, and he had to get up and go to work, and he's out working, and then his phone went off. So he looked down at his phone, and he saw that it was his bank account that the bell rung. And so he looked at his bank account, and there was a stimulus check in there. And when he saw that stimulus check in there, big old smile came over his face. Oh, he's glad again. He's joyful again. And then he hangs up the phone, and then in just a few minutes, man, he was one happy camper. Everything was just going great. He was thrilled with what was happening in his life. And then, wait a minute, it dinged again. And so he looked on it again, and it was the same app, his bank account. So he clicked on the bank account, and he noticed that his wife got a stimulus check. So now, instead of $1,200 to the good, he's $2,400 to the good. Well, he can't contain his joy any longer. Everybody knows how happy this man is. But then he gets off work, and in order to celebrate his newfound fortune, he decides to go to the track with his drinking buddies, and he gambles away all the money, and he gets drunk in order to pacify his defeats. And so he goes home, and then he's mad at the wife, mad at the kids, mad at the dog, mad at the cat. He's just mad. Where'd that joy go? You see, my point is, folks, the world, money, things cannot bring joy. But the joy that the Lord gives, that's superior joy. It is more than all these temporary things that the world has to offer. It is more than all of that. The joy that is given to me from the Lord, that wells up in my heart, that puts a song in my heart, and it's there, and it's going to stay there, and it keeps me going today, and praise the Lord, it'll keep me going tomorrow. Why? Because it is real joy. So let's go back to the song. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, then let Jesus come into your heart. Folks, I'm telling you, joy is something that is missing in so many lives today. I hope you will realize where joy comes from. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. And I trust that you will read over this seventh verse. Just read it and realize that the joy the Lord gives you is so much more than anything this world has to offer. Seek out that joy, Christian. Seek it out. Look for it. And if you're listening to me tonight and you're not saved, you have no joy. You have no, except for when temporal things give a little bit of joy, but it'll vanish. It won't stick around. But if you want joy, then let Jesus come into your heart. Right after I finish praying and we go off the live stream, there will be a message come on that will take just a couple of minutes and explain to you how you can ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and find that true, real joy. The lady that sent us a message this morning said that after the little fella got saved, I think they said he was 9 years old or something like that, but when that little guy got saved, she said, he's been smiling ever since. Well, that's what getting saved does. It gives you gladness, and that's real gladness. That's real joy. All right, let's close in prayer. And if you need the Lord, please stick around and listen to the brief message after we go off the air. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let me remind you, we'll be right back here again on Wednesday night, and trust the Lord for a good service on Wednesday night. That service will be at 7, and we invite you to tune in. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. We thank you for the many blessings that are ours because of our relationship with you. And Father, I pray that you will stir our hearts with what we have heard this evening. It is a sad world that we live in. There is very little joy today, very little gladness in anyone's heart. But Father, the people of God ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to rejoice in the Lord all the way and just be happy that we are on our way to heaven. We have a relationship with you. We have your eternal word that we can read and understand and know. And Father, we just thank you for all that we have in Christ. And I pray you'll bless what's been said tonight. And Father, give us a good week. We pray for our folks and just ask you to put a hedge around the Church of the Open Door and meet every need. Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.